Good morning, it's 9 o'clock. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Perry, the minutes from the August 1st and 15th meeting were circulated. Did you have any additions, corrections, or substitutions?
No. Mr. President, I make a motion we approve the minutes as they were published.
As Mr. Shelley is not here, I will second your motion. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Let's welcome up Ms. Barb Mueller from the Jim Gatchell Museum Association, the first item on our agenda.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Barb.
Ms. Yep.
There's two additional items.
And for the record, Ms. Moore, will you introduce your guests, the dais with you?
These two?
Yes.
This is John Lawrence. He's the chairperson of the Gatchell Museum Association. This is Laura Jane Kessler. She is the secretary of the Gatchell Museum Association. Okay.
The floor is yours. Good morning.
Thank you, commissioners, for having us here today. To summarize the letter we mailed you last week, on 29 June 2023, the Board of Directors of the Gatchell Museum Association received a certified letter signed by the Governing Board of the Jim Gatchell Memorial Museum terminating the recently created Memorandum of Understanding between the museum and the association. The letter stated the museum governing board was terminating all business with GMA and after the agreed upon funds for 2023 were given to the museum, there would be no association or expectation between the museum and the GMA. Further, we were told not to use the name Gatchell in our future business dealings. To say the letter was a shock to the directors of the GMA is an understatement. It is the duty of the museum governing board and the director to conduct themselves and act in the best interest of Jim Gatchell Memorial Museum. The museum governing board has a fiduciary responsibility to do what is in the best interest of the museum. We provide money that helps keep the museum financially sound. GMA fails to see and understand how the disassociation from the entity that provides them $50,000 to $75,000 a year is truly in the best interest of Jim Gatchell Memorial Museum. On the advice of legal counsel, GMA, as of July 2023, legally owns the trade name Jim Gatchell Memorial Museum. It is our hope that the association and the museum are able to resolve their issues and enter into a mutually agreeable MOU to include the county commissioners, which would provide the museum the ongoing financial support that we can provide, as well as the opportunity to continue to use the name Jim Gatchell Memorial Museum. It is what we want for the community and for the Jim Gatchell legacy. So, why are we here? What do we want from you? And what is it that we want to accomplish? We want no division between the museum and the association. We want to continue to work together to keep the museum doors open into perpetuity. The association wants to reestablish a positive working relationship with the museum director and governing board, that we are able to resolve the issues at hand and enter into that mutually agreeable MOU to include the county commissioners and move forward. We have a sound history of supporting the museum since 1991. We want to continue to do so through the work of the Gatchel Museum Association. We want to honor the people who have generously donated to the museum over the years, as well as those who have worked diligently to save and invest money for our endowment so the museum doors may be open into perpetuity. That simple. We are not looking for anyone to lose a job. We are not going to finger point to any group or individuals. The players will come and the players will go. The museum must stand long after all of us in this room are gone. We just want to continue the Gatchel Museum Association mission to raise, invest, and donate money to the museum. Thank you.
Commissioner Perry, you serve as liaison to this board. What are your thoughts on encouraging a new MOU between the GMA and the museum board?
I think that it would behoove the museum board to enter back into an MOU with the foundation. I was a little taken back when they decided that they didn't want to be associated with the foundation, Gatchel Museum Foundation. And I don't know what we can do about it, but I think that we got to encourage and move forward with trying to bring these two entities back together by some means.
We would ask everyone to please remember to silence their cell phones out of respect to the proceedings here. Mr. Crayle, two questions for you. First, will the trademarking of the GMA name or Gatchel in any way impact the museum's ability to use that name?
I don't know the answer to that offhand. I mean, I'll have to look into that, Mr. Chairman. They could. That's a possibility, but without digging into that a little bit, that's the first I've heard of that particular issue, so I don't have an answer for you today.
Second question is, in 2017, I guess it was 2015, an MOU was created, I guess it was 2017, primarily to aid in the accreditation process, if I remember correctly, and to clarify duties. To your knowledge, has the county been served any form of paperwork from other side terminating the current MOU in place?
From the GMA?
The GMA, there are three parties to this.
Correct.
Memorandum of Understanding. So the commissioners could theoretically terminate this Memorandum of Understanding, the GMA, or the museum.
Right. I don't think the county has received anything, it's my understanding. Okay. That the museum board has sent notice to the GMA to that effect.
Okay.
But we have not received anything that I am aware of.
So us receiving a copy of their initial letter, do you feel that initial letter would constitute termination of this memorandum of understanding?
By the museum board?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So at this point, And again, we're not going to...
That's a little bit tricky, though. I mean, and the reason I say that is the museum board is a separate board, but it's a subsidiary of the county.
Yes.
It's not a special district. It's, you know, obviously it's like the library or the fair board. They're one of the three entities that operate under the county umbrella. They're a little bit different. Now, that being said, they also have some autonomy to do some other things on their own, but it's not black. That is not black and white. That's a gray area for every county in the state of Wyoming, and that's how museums, fair boards, libraries operate. It's, you know, it causes us issues on multiple levels every year. So, can they opt out? Yes. Is it binding on the county? That's probably up for the commissioners to decide, to be honest. And so I don't, you know, we'd have to approach that with a little different perspective than we would some of our other MOUs. But it's the same thing we do. We often enter into agreements. For example, the sheriff gets a grant. This is just another example. You sign the grant, but the sheriff also signs the grant. And so there's this dual level of approval, and it's so that we're all working in the same direction and everybody's on the same page. Do I think the MOU is terminated as written? Yes, because I think the museum can do that. Can we do a new one? Yes. I mean, that's also doable if the museum board decides they want to.
So, in effect, the museum's actions were to terminate the memorandum of understanding that Mr. Ruby negotiated between the two entities, plus then this MOU as well.
That's how I would take it, yes. I mean, if you say, because the new one that was negotiated replaced the old one. I mean, that was the whole point of the new one, was to sort of update the terms between all of the parties. So, although I can't remember, and obviously the county attorney's not here today, he's doing a training, but he could tell you better, because he was handling all this. He was handling this particular issue. So, as to whether or not it actually got signed, the commissioners did not sign the new one, I don't think.
I don't believe we were party to it. It was just the two entities.
Right. And so, if I remember correctly, it was signed, but it would have replaced the existing one. I mean, the claim, to be honest with you, I don't think there's any purpose in going backwards to look at the 2017 version anyways. I think makes more sense to move forward and not try to worry about that one or the one that apparently that is, you know, has been terminated by letter from the museum board. If you're going to move forward, you just move forward and figure out how to make it work with a new agreement.
Mr. Perry, are you willing to take on the arduous task of facilitating a resolution to the latest version of the Johnson County War and the GMA and the museum to enter into an agreement? I'm assuming, Mr. Kirvin, you're serving as the attorney for the GMA.
Yes, that's correct.
So if we could involve the county attorney's office and Mr. Kirvin on behalf of the GMA. I realize, Barry, that puts you and Tucker in a difficult spot because you represent the commissioners and you also represent the museum.
Sorry.
It's nice theme music.
It is. It's the perfect crescendo for where we're headed here. Mr. Craig, is it going to be necessary to find temporary outside counsel for the museum so that we can keep everybody at arm's length?
Well, at this point, we're likely at odds to some degree, so we may have to. I guess it depends. The library board can decide what they want. You know, they can have their own meeting, and if they need separate counsel, then because they feel that that maybe, you know, we can't represent their interest and obviously represent the commissioners, then yes, that's probably something we may have to look at doing. Let me think about it a little bit and talk to Sylvia and see. But if there's truly a conflict and it becomes more serious, then we can't. The county attorney's office can't represent anybody. We couldn't represent the board or the commissioners at that point. And so we'd have to have two separate lawyers, one for the commissioners and one for the board.
As far as your question goes, Bill, I would be happy to negotiate something with the museum board, but I'd probably have to have a bulletproof vest.
I bet you can find you a bomb or something.
I think that we should be able to come to some sort of a mutual agreement between the two. But that's just my opinion. How opinions are.
So, Commissioner Perry, do you want to try to have an update for us at our October 3rd meeting?
Yes.
Okay. I'm realizing that potentially that a new MOU, or if you come back and say they're complete loggerheads, you can't resolve the issue, but if we could have a good update of progress at the October 3rd meeting, and we'll add it as an agenda item, just to see if this has moved forward. It's customary, usually the commissioners take public comment at the end of the meeting, but we're going to actually deviate from protocol because there are a large number of you here, and we'll go ahead, if you would be willing to please stand, have respect for brevity, so if a point's already been made, don't make it again. And then please also, for the courtesy to our county clerk, introduce yourself so that she can include your name with your comments for the record. So we would open it up for public comment specific to this item only. So go ahead, folks.
My name is Paul Sackett Haworth. Jim Gatchell was my great-grandfather. I'm looking at both sides. This is a mess. In the new MOU, I would like to be involved in that as part of the family. This is kind of, I feel bad that I even have to be here. It's just kind of disgusting to me. And I think the family needs to have, as we're talking about Jim Gatchell's legacy, we need to get on track. I would duly request to be put on that committee, if possible. Thank you.
My name is Christina Haworth. I am Paul's wife. I also serve on the Sheridan County Historic Preservation Commission. We do a lot of community outreach with grants. We are familiar with this kind of situation in other parts of Wyoming. I also work directly with the Wyoming Alliance for Historic Preservation, which has a lot of opportunities for investments for museums and nonprofit organizations. I, too, would like to be put on that committee with you for the MOU.
Any additional public comment? Public comment. Okay, we'll proceed to our next agenda item. I'd like to welcome up our library director to update us on a vacancy that she has. Good morning.
It's been interesting.
Continue our meeting. If you could please remove side conversations outside the chambers. Thank you. All right. Lindsay, go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I received a resignation letter last Monday from our circulation and assistant director. I'm here today to ask that the hiring freeze be waived so that we can refill this position.
And Lindsay, in conversation with you, it sounds like, unfortunately, this individual had moved out of county and decided that they didn't want to make the commute for charity anymore, and so
it is
a loss to us.
It is. It was anticipated. We are very sad to see her go, but we're happy for her and the transition that she's making.
So you're just asking to replace a person that's done?
Yes, sir.
I'll make a motion. We allow the library to rebuild that position.
I will second that. Any discussion on that, Commissioner Perry?
No.
Hearing none, all those in favor of lifting the hiring fees to replace the associate director of the library, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you guys very much.
Have a good morning.
You
We know you're going to open up here shortly, so back at it. Thanks, Lindsay. Madam Clerk, it looks like you have we've got to approve this retroactively. This was a malt beverage permit for the Harpers, that's the Cowboy Bar and Grill, to cater the Basque party on 8/19 at the Johnson County Fairgrounds.
Yes, this application was received. Carla Harper submitted it, and she apologized that she had failed to get this further in advance in time to approve at the last meeting. She just simply had forgotten about it. And so she brought it in right away, visited with you, we got it approved in advance, so we do need to make it a formality. And all fees were paid, and the event has already taken place.
I move to approve the Harper's catering and malt beverage permit. It was a
catering permit.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. I will second that. Any discussion? All those in favor of approving the catering permit for Cowboy Saloon, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, Madam Clerk, we advertised your budget hearing at 9:30 to consider those grant amendments, so we will set that aside. I don't see Mr. Waller here, so... Oh, there is Mr. Waller, and I see he's got the...
Craig's here.
We calling him the surveyor of record or the engineer of record on this project?
Land surveyor.
All right, let's go ahead and consider the Stag Head minor subdivision.
Yeah, he wasn't here. He just left his normal. That's for you.
I didn't see him. He had his head ducked.
Yeah, I got to try to get a bunch of emails sent out. Mr. Chairman? Just a sec. So this is a subdivision out on French Creek Road on behalf of Rob and Jen Hicks, Core 25 French Creek Road. And what I gave you guys was a package of the entire reports, everything planning and zoning dealt with. We did receive some public comments during the preliminary review. Parcel had kind of a rough history with the perimeter description. The landowner had to clean all that up as part of the process of moving through the subdivision regulation, which is pretty straightforward. Where we are today, they had to go through. This went and was approved by planning and zoning. If you look at the facts and findings in April, the water right record had to go through the state engineer's office, and that actually got delayed twice, right? Two or three times?
Yeah.
So once that application went down there, there were some things the state wanted. All that correspondence came back to the county. Overall, P&Z's condition was they would sign the plat and Mylar once the documentation had been received, and I got a formal letter on Friday stating the water rights, or Thursday, that the water rights had all been cleaned up, and Craig had shared the email earlier in August when the state's action was completed. So I thought it'd just be more appropriate to give you guys the full report that planning and zoning worked through leading up to the final plat today. Do you have any questions? Okay. I'll just read through their findings and recommendation just to, for the record. The application was submitted August 2022. It's a minor subdivision. According to the county rules, September 9th, Planning and Zoning held a review on the proposed sketch plan. After that review, the applicants were allowed to submit a preliminary plat and go through a formal hearing with Planning and Zoning for that review, which took place in November of last year. We did receive public comments. They were attached to that preliminary report. Most of the comments that were received were related to land use concerns, issues, development issues that we don't have rules to address. A lot of it was placement and view shed of the housing, lighting, access, just increased development. You can see by the lot sizes, you know, the smallest one's 4.95 acres. That's really consistent with all the lots that are in the adjacent subdivision to the east. Those are usually right around 5 acres apiece. So we have a kind of a set density out there. After that hearing, planning and zoning, moved forward and allowed the applicant to move forward with the final review regarding the water rights and getting that all formally addressed. And they approved the subdivision contingent upon all the water rights being finalized before it could go to you guys. We do have a subdivision development agreement. It is the standard form that's in the regulation. It's going to be needed to address the access that would be built for Lot 3. And so there's some improvements that are going to be required to Lots 1 and 2 for the existing accesses as per County Road and Bridge regulations. So on behalf of the applicants, Mr. Shadlick had provided the development agreement and Exhibit A that shows where those improvements would be located, and then Exhibit B is the proposed improvements that are going to be required and needed. That agreement will be required to be recorded with the plat until those accesses are approved or constructed in the, I guess, construction is approved by Road and Bridge. We've done this in the past on us on one subdivision that had to build a road. Once they built the road, they submitted documentation that just said it was built, you know, and according to County Road and Bridge standards. After that, we released the development agreement, and there was a formal release filed against the record to take that agreement and say it was completed. I think that's what needs to happen with this, just as a standard. We've had a couple of subdivisions over the last, like, 4 or 5 years where accesses were approved at one spot, and then they got moved at construction. And I think that's where the intent of this was, just to ensure that, you know, they're built where they said they were going to build. Question? Do you have questions? Make sure Craig has any questions. I think the headache with this subdivision is the state engineer's requirements on water rights and how that's changed. We definitely aren't really making anything more stringent than state law, but I think moving forward in subdividing in general in Wyoming, we're going to notice water rights becoming more and more of an issue. This was really old water rights that haven't probably ever really historically been used. Or if they've been used, it hasn't been used for a significantly long time.
Questions, Commissioner Perry?
I didn't follow this. Mr. Waller's addressed all the issues to the best of his ability. Anybody else? I would probably make a motion we approve the, what's the name of it?
Staghead Miner.
There's a motion to approve the Staghead Miner subdivision. I will second that, which will allow us to receive public comment on Staghead subdivision. So I will open the public comment period. Is there any public comment on the Staghead subdivision? Public comment? Public comment? Public comment? Hearing none, I'm going to go ahead and close public comment. And Commissioner Perry, any final questions before we vote on this?
No.
All right. All those in favor of approving the Staghead minor subdivision, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Waller, anything else to update the commissioners on?
No. Well, yes. Just a second. We are going to have a very quick planning and zoning work session at 6 o'clock tonight, followed by really fairly quick planning and zoning meeting. The idea with the work session is to get planning and zoning to have that discussion and decide what they want. There's a little bit of a hesitancy with the board in terms of what do we expect from a land use plan update versus, you know, where we have, what we have, and how to move forward. So the work session tonight is to kind of cover, give them some more facts and information. A lot of that emphasis is going to focus on what the tools were in our existing plan, so that if or how we issue out an RFP to move forward with an update, we don't end up with a document that doesn't meet what the county expects. And so I really want to make sure that our expectations as we move forward are met and followed through, and we don't end up just releasing an RFP, have a plan written together that looks like a textbook. We have really good bones on the current land use plan, and I think there's a lot of data that's in our land use plan, and there's some data that's not needed as we move forward. And there's obviously sections that are in the current plan that could be dramatically reduced and simplified. I don't think we'd get rid of them altogether, but there's some sections and some items in the land use plan. So my goal for the work session with P&Z tonight is get them thinking and discussing. And after the last meeting that we had last month, Chairman Pearson, you know, he just wants to make sure that whatever our expectations and what we decide as a county moving forward, it's pretty cut and dry and clear and concise. And we're also, I've got a draft RFP that I'm hoping they'll be able to look through with explicit scope of work of how we want to proceed forward. Obviously, right now, when you look at our current plan, it's about 280 pages. And not saying pages matter or don't matter, but it's 2023. I think we can have a document that offers data and tables and information visually that the written grammatically text is, it's boring. And I've asked the board to read, and they all bring comments back. The information I shared with them last month, Travis, he read through it. So he said it's really dry. And the information, you know, you might have like three or four spots where numbers are written on the plan. And as an example, we report and have a table about our seasonally adjusted employment in Johnson County from 2002. And I've pulled new data for 2022, and statistically, the numbers are not much different from 2002 to where we are in 2022 for data. But our population has grown about 1,700 people. The median age has gone up from about 40 to now it's close to 48. And it's telling me that when you look at the individual demographics, who's moving here? Not workers. It's retirees. And so in 2002, we were looking at a plan and they said, you know, elderly are going to grow in Wyoming. They're going to grow in Johnson County. So as we move forward with a plan, the reason why I'm really careful, they put a lot of emphasis that the growth in Johnson County was going to be related to minerals, coal bed methane, and possibly a power substation being located in Johnson County, none of which added to a sustained, I'd say, population growth. The power plant is over north of Gillette, Dry Fork. They did build some coal bed methane power plants in Campbell County, and we saw coal bed methane development But it wasn't, I don't think, anything that would sustain what they were thinking for employment growth in Johnson County. So, but we do have one key thing. We've got an elderly population showing up in Wyoming, and I don't want to isolate and say it's only in Johnson County. It's statewide, and I think people have known it for a while. So I just want to make sure as we proceed forward, we obviously have our own community issues. So that's what's going on in the board. Last thing, just to touch base, Barry and I spoke 3 weeks ago or so about the delegation agreement with DEQ. That has never been finalized. And so I brought up that I'd really like to get on with the administrators in DEQ because there's new administration. So I spoke with the district engineer and the assistant district engineer for Water Quality Division and submitted our rules that we adopted, our draft rules that we created to address what DEQ said was deficient, and it was dropped. And that's been 4 years. So it's really just recreating. There were several vacancies in DEQ in water quality, so I'm thinking we'll be able to get that thing cleaned up. And we're not the only county. There's several counties in Wyoming. They just haven't updated the delegation agreement. And I let the engineers know that Johnson County wants to ensure that our proposed rules meet what DEQ feels is necessary before we ever change the rules again. And that's what I let them know the last time, and so we've stopped. And I think we put together the review on what was needed, and I think it's adequate. So we'll just kind of hold tight and see what comes back. Planning and Zoning did open their subdivision regulations up for public comment. They will have a public comment meeting in October to address the proposed rules that are needed to clean up the boundary line adjustment process and those exemptions. That's all we're really cleaning up. There's a few grammatical errors, but the idea is to take all those exemptions administratively approved. That way people can get those exemptions processed much faster and quicker. And that's where we're sitting right now. So
I've got a question about with the DEQ and the Planning and Zoning Board. Has the DEQ come up with any kind of density rules as far as how many houses and what kind of density you can have before you have to go to a full-blown
sewer system? No. But there is a target area, about 2.5 acres is usually kind of typically when you start running into whether or not you'll have to have what they classify as enhanced treatment. But it's all related to what's happening on the ground condition. So the north end of Lake DeSmit is all scoria rock, and that is considered enhanced treatment that's needed in all those subdivision lots on the North Shore PUD. Then you get to where like Shores at Lake DeSmit is, and they put the lots, there's 21 lots that are along the shoreline that were plumbed into that central system. The counties that have put specifications on lot size as far as what's too small for a conventional septic and well, they have zoning. And it usually comes down to enforcement of the zoning regulation. So Thermopolis has a very general county agricultural zoning that applies to the entire county, and they specify 2.5 acres as being the smallest lot you can create with a septic system. I think the county, in the long run, we're going to have to look at something due to what's happening up on the hill above town at Richardson Park. And that is going to become a problem. In fact, I got a complaint on Friday up there that I'll have to get with Barry to talk about and move forward because of they're too small. They're just too small for the site conditions.
I wonder if you get a fairly dense and a large population in a certain area that you don't get a plume going that is going to affect the land outside of that 2.5 acre.
That's what DEQ looks at with the subdivisions. They're looking at that overall saturation inside a subdivision boundary and whether or not it affects the citizens outside of it. So logically, DEQ will say if that sewer water migrates past the subdivision boundary within a certain time frame, then they want to require treatment inside that subdivision so that it doesn't affect people outside of it. But it's been a question that's come up a lot is what's too small for conventional septic systems.
Yeah. Who monitors that?
The water quality?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it comes down to you're assuming as a subdivision is developed and houses are put in, you meet the setbacks of what DEQ identified. So, for example, Emerald Park has a 50-foot setback on all the lots for septic systems and wells, and that's to ensure that we're meeting the 100-foot spacing from each other. And then I think it comes down to ensuring the specific depth of where the soils were tested, that that's where we're meeting treatment levels. And then it's a matter of what's going on with the water well. You know, and I think in the long run, people get their water wells tested. And so if you had if there was a contamination point, it would show up in the water well or at a seepage point where there's open water and the groundwater migrating back to the surface water. Knock on wood, I think we're okay. But definitely, 10,000 square foot lots are not appropriate. And that's what we've got up above town. And I think it'd be very prudent that the county work with the city of Buffalo to try to get sewer up on that hill. I'm nervous about what's going to happen if we end up having an issue up there and they're forced into having no solution. We can plan for it and start making planning, but if we're forced into doing something as a community, it's going to be really painful. Manderson got forced into doing something. And I think it's better if we can kind of encourage that the annexation fear or lack of fear trumping responsibility, being responsible for what's happening in our community, in our county. So, I don't know. Richardson Park needs to be on sewer bill. Any other questions?
It's 9:43, so I will convene a budget hearing. Prepared for you, resolution number 711, gift and transfer funds for the 2023-2024 budget. Now, therefore, be it resolved that in accordance with 16-4-112 and 16-4-113 of the Wyoming compiled statutes of 1977, the following necessary funds are transferred for the 2023-2024 budget year from the National Opioid Settlement for $11,870.70 to Fund 57, National Opioid Settlement FD Trust Fund in the amount of $11,870.70 from Wyoming Department of Health in the amount of $9,125.43 to the Fund 69, Gambling and Treatment Grant in the amount of $9,125.43 from the Wyoming Department of Family Services in the amount of $61,000 to Fund 30, the Temporary Assistance to Needy Families, CPI, in the amount of $61,000 from Small Rural Tribal Body Worn Camera Program in the amount of $17,726.50 to Fund 80, the SRT Body Camera Grant in the amount of $17,726.50, and from the Wyoming Department of Homeland Security Program for fiscal year 2023, $5,810 in the amount of $0.41 to fund to be determined for the mobile command trailer radio grant in the amount of $5,810.41 for total changes to the budget in the amount of $105,535.04 dated this 5th day of September 2023.
Move to approve resolution 711.
There is a motion and I will provide the second. Is there any public comment on the amendment to the Johnson County budget for the grant funding that has just come in? Public comment on the grants. Public comment. Hearing none. All those in favor of Resolution 711, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Madam Clerk, any additional budget activity that needs to occur before I adjourn the budget hearing?
Yes, we're good.
I will go ahead and adjourn the budget hearing. We will be back on regular business, which looks like the next item is vouchers. Madam Clerk, I did see there was an addition that came across this morning for a Rocky Mountain power bill. So is the total amount of vouchers for the county $468,156.46.
That is correct.
Okay.
This is the most current report that you have in front of you.
Okay.
Make a motion that we approve paying the bills for $468,156.46.
I will second that. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the vouchers, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Madam Clerk, did you have additional business you needed us to transact?
I do not have any additional
business. Ms. Tuckett, no additional business. Mr. Crago, anything you need the commissioners to deal with today? All right. Mr. Perry, before we move to public comment, I would like permission for the county to draft two letters. The first is to the Sage Grouse implementation team, and this is for version 3 of the Sage Grouse map that was released on Monday. And the second is comments to the Wyoming Public Service Commission regarding the rate increase.
I would appreciate you writing a letter. I won't say supporting, but commenting on these two items.
Right. Is there a motion to approve those two letters?
I make a motion we approve the letters.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Brings us now on time on our agenda that we would entertain any public comment. Public comment? Last call for public comment. Hearing none.
Commission from the Travel and Tourism?
Please.
Since I haven't got up here and talked for a couple weeks anyway.
I missed you.
So... Jody Sowers from the Tourism Board, the chair. The big thing with the Tourism Board right now is we have put out ads for a marketing director for this area. We have 16 resumes, which is pretty exciting. So some of the board is getting together today to review those resumes, to see what kind of candidates we have and then start the interview process. But we're pretty excited about moving forward with a full-time marketing director that can help us move forward into the future, whatever that may be. We have just started the 1st of August working with Madden Media to develop a new website that is tourism focused. So the Madden Media specializes in tourism websites, and so we've got some grant monies and stuff from the Wyoming Office of Tourism, so they're helping us get a new up and running website, so that's exciting. We're just in the baby steps of getting that going, but hopefully by the end of the year we'll see something going on there. We have a work session scheduled for next Tuesday, the 12th, for the board to review. We got an $80,000 grant from the Wyoming Office of Tourism, and we had scheduled some things for that last November, and so we just need to regroup and get together and make sure what that for sure looks like and what direction we're going there. And then we are back to our in-person meeting, which I'm good to be done with the Zoom meeting for the last 3 months. So our next meeting is the 19th at 1 o'clock at A&B Bank. Any questions?
No.
Okay. And I believe tonight at City Council we will have our ninth board member approved, so we will have a full board, which is exciting considering where we started the beginning of this year at. So, all right, thank you.
Any further public comment? Hearing none, I entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We are adjourned.